Next step number 57, Earth date 789. Welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Vasquez welcoming you back to the next step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The next step is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission and is brought to you by the good folks at the Apostles' Net. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, well, I know I am, let's take the next step. Oh, the last part of that song has a nice K2IM ring to it, doesn't it? It reminds me of the old Inglewood days. Well, we're not too far away from Inglewood right now. Actually, we're broadcasting right close to Los Angeles, the City of Angels, and we're here with the whole crew bringing you this next step. And Ani has her bubbles coming up in a few minutes. Susie's here as our producer, and of course, Ken up in the booth. And we're bringing you this next step, a way of looking at life, and definitely we have so much to look at. How did you get through this past week? You know, the City of Angels, it became a place for angelic sounds, angelic, an angelic tribute, really. That's what I think that Michael Jackson tribute was all about, and I hope you enjoyed it, because it was nice that all of a sudden people stopped. You know, it's so easy to pick on somebody who is different, and it was nice that people stopped and really focused in on the good stuff. And I'm not here to really glorify Michael Jackson any more than he was at the tribute. But what I am here to say is sometimes we need those examples, don't we? Sometimes we need to be inspired by not the person, but what happens as a community. Sure, we should be inspired by people. I didn't mean it that way. But look at how the focus was shifted, and all of a sudden it became an opportunity to celebrate a life, an opportunity to be thankful for a life. I can't remember who it was, if it was Smokey Robinson, who got up during the tribute and he made a beautiful comment. He said, many people have come to this tribute for Michael Jackson to say goodbye. I'm here to say thank you. And he went on to thank Michael Jackson for all that he has done to this world. And I think this is just beautiful. The idea of Thanksgiving is something that is really overlooked by a lot of people. And definitely Christianity needs to do a better job of emphasizing what Thanksgiving is all about. In fact, the Holy Eucharist, the center point for Orthodoxy, which is the divine liturgy, the presence of Jesus Christ, that word Eucharist means thanksgiving, thanking God, giving back to God. And it's not so much an action. You know, a lot of times people come up to me, I mean a lot of times, and they tell me, hey, I didn't get anything out of the service. Well, it's not about you getting something out of a service. It's about you giving something to the service, you giving back. I mean, you want to know the truth of it? You have 168 hours a week. God has given you that life. He has given you that breath that you breathe. And he has given you that love that's in your heart. 168 hours a week. The 1 hour that you get together for the worship, the Holy Eucharist, is to put something back in, to offer back. And that is the shift that Orthodoxy makes. And so, yeah, when we saw that Michael Jackson tribute, it was beautiful that so many of the sentiments focused around thanksgiving. And that is really something that needs to be emphasized more and more in our lives. You know, the tribute took place on July 7th, and it occurred to me that that was the actual date of forgiveness. Just 2 years ago, our Inishu's ministry embarked on this project called the 777 Project. You know, they come up to Jesus and they say, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus says, not seven times, but seven times 77. And if you did the math, that equals 539. And so you say, well, okay, 539 times I will forgive. No! No. We're not talking about 539 times forgiving a brother. We're talking about constantly forgiving, always forgiving, having that heart that forgives, even when it's difficult, even when you're in the Christ position, even when you're hanging on a cross, when you've had your difficulties, when people spit on you, when people betray you, when they deny you. You look down at them and you say, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing. You find in life, most times, people don't know what they're doing. Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like people can be vicious. And certainly there are people who are vicious. But you know what? At the end of it, that forgiveness raises us from a human perspective to the godly. We become in the divine realm when we forgive. We operate in the divine realm. And so a couple years ago, on 777, yes, July 7th, 2007, we had this conference on forgiveness. It was unprecedented. And you know, if you missed it, I invite you to go to the website 7x77.org and you could read all about it. We had a gentleman and his wife who came from Rwanda, a genocide survivor from Rwanda, who actually met the person who raped and killed his mother. And he talked about the forgiveness that he had to. That was required of him, but he had to forgive in order for he himself to survive. Interesting, huh? He had to forgive somebody, not so the other person could survive, but he had to forgive for his own self, for his own well-being, for his own growth, for his own next step in life, moving forward in life. Fascinating, fascinating story. We had another lady, Mrs. Zagiri, who's probably, when we say about the City of Angels, she could probably top that City of Angels. She is an angel. She was a lady who came and spoke to us on several occasions, but we brought her specifically on the 777 conference because she spoke about how she had to forgive a group of Armenian boys who had killed this one Mexican boy. It turns out the Mexican boy was her son, Raul Aguirre. And when I tell you, not a dry eye in the house, she went on to recall how she had to forgive this group of Armenian boys who killed her son for no other reason except that the son was different than they were. And when you hear these kind of stories, you realize that forgiveness, love, really is all about the God force, the God energy living inside of you. You and I cannot forgive until we are willing to forgive as God did. From the cross, looking down on his creation and saying, despite what they did, despite themselves, I still love them and I will still forgive. Anyway, I can't do justice to these two stories. I invite you to go to our website, 7x77, I call it the forgiveness formula. And we had a whole conference on that, 7x77.org. Don't forget the org, because, you know, the sevens in gambling. I think the .com is a gambling site or something like that. But you know what? Life is all a gamble. Even when you forgive, you're gambling that someone may not forgive you back. But that's the ultimate challenge, isn't it? Isn't it like the ultimate challenge to say that, you know, I'm willing to forgive even if the love isn't going to be repaid? Because that's the challenge that God had in front of him. He said, I know that humanity has no possible way of paying back the love that I have for them, but I still spill out my love. I will incarnate love. I will give you Jesus Christ. And still, people being what they are, they still refuse that love. And we continue to refuse that love every time we walk away from God's message. So the Michael Jackson event took place on July 7th, and I thought it was a very appropriate event taking place on the Forgiveness Day, on a day that we could get together and really focus in on what's important in life, Thanksgiving, thanking God for every bit that He has given us. And I know that life has many challenges, many difficulties, especially in the In His Shoes arena here at In His Shoes Ministries. You know, so much of our life is focusing on so much of the negativity of the world. In fact, a lot of times people come up and say, isn't there something pleasant that you could talk about? Absolutely, a lot of pleasant stuff. But you know what? You get caught up in it. When you go from genocide issues to homelessness issues to feeding the hungry issues, I mean, to wars on the street, wars on the battlefield, it is negative. It is filled with negativity. And it's very easy to come down, to go down that path of negativity. So one of the challenges that we have at In His Shoes Ministries is really, yes, walking in the shoes of other people, to get the respect for other people, feeling a respect for one another as human beings, so that once we gain that respect, we can walk straight. We can put a smile on our face because we realize that that person is going through a difficult time, and maybe that's the reason why he or she is doing what he or she is doing. Oh, too many pronouns. Where did I go with that? Someone does something wrong to you, right? Someone does something wrong to you. It is so easy to retaliate with something bad back to them, right? That's so easy. That's human. That's human talking. What is godly is when someone does something bad to you, to look back at them and offer and shower them, really, with love. That is really the big challenge that we're called to. When we talk about Armadoxy here on these podcasts, really we're looking at a system that has the ability to give that love, place it in your heart, and give you the tools that are necessary to go out there. To go out there despite all the difficulties that you have, to be able to look at those difficulties and hit them back with the power of love. Well, when we come back in a couple minutes, I'm going to share with you some of the things that happened over the weekend, especially here in America. We celebrated the Independence Day weekend, and we had some fireworks. We had some fireworks of the soul, too. I'll tell you all about that when we get back. But right now, how about kicking it off with a song? And as we always do, but this week, you know, along with passings, there's a beautiful thing, you know, like we talked about forgiveness. It's all part of the same equation, isn't it? And so too is life. And our good friend Gore was blessed with a beautiful baby girl, of course, with his wife, Hudit. And we dedicate this song to him. This is from another one of his babies, Bambir, a few years ago. This is called JBK, and I'll let you figure out what those initials mean. Here's Bambir. Called Bumbeer, and that song is JBK. Did you figure it out? Did you figure out what those initials mean? Well, those of you who have been listening to Next Step probably figured it out, just knowing the kind of musical taste I have over here, too. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it, and I definitely point you to check out their web presence. They're, of course, on MySpace in BAMBIR, a group from Gyumri, same place that our dear friend Gor Mkhitaryan is from, and we wish him and his, you know, last week we played his miracle song, and he and his beautiful wife Hudit became a witness to the real miracle as they celebrate the birth of their daughter Zabel Lily. We wish them all the best as they begin this life of three together. Yeah, I think that is appropriate. Let's go right into bubbles today. I did tell you I'm going to talk to you about what happened over the weekend, but let's listen to Ani with her bubbles, because, you know, when you got little babies and talking about little babies, let's go for the bubble experience. Here we go.
Today's spiritual bubble is called The Lonely Girl. Barefoot and dirty, the girl just sat and watched the people go by. She never tried to speak. She never said a word. Many people passed, but never did one person stop. Just so happens, the next day, I decided to go back to the park, curious if the little girl would still be there. Right in the very spot she was yesterday, she sat perched on a high rock with the saddest look in her eyes. Today, I was to make my own move and walk over to the little girl. As we all know, a park full of strange people is not a place for young children to play alone. As I began walking towards her, I could see the back of the little girl's dress indicated a deformity. I figured that was the reason people just passed by and made no effort to help. As I got closer, the little girl slightly lowered her eyes to avoid my intense stare. I could see the shape of her back more clearly. It was grotesquely shaped in the hump over her form. I smiled to let her know it was okay. I was here to help, to talk. I sat down beside her and opened with a simple hello. The little girl acted shocked and stammered, "Hi," after a long stare into my eyes. I smiled and she shyly smiled back. We talked until darkness fell and the park was completely empty. Everyone was gone, and we once were alone. I asked the little girl why she was so sad. The little girl looked at me with a sad face and said, "Because I am different." I immediately said, "That you are," and smiled. The little girl acted even sadder. She said, "I know." "Little girl," I said, "you remind me of an angel. Sweet and innocent." She looked at me and smiled. Slowly, she stood to her feet and said, "Really?" "Yes, dear. You're like a guardian angel sent to watch over all those people walking by." She nodded her head, "Yes," and smiled. And with that, she spread her wings and said, "I am. I'm your guardian angel," with a twinkle in her eye. I was speechless. Surely I was seeing things. She said, "For once, you thought of someone other than yourself. My job here is done." Immediately, I stood to my feet and said, "Wait, so why did no one stop to help my angel?" She looked at me and smiled. "You're the only one who could see me, and you believed it in your heart." And she was gone. And with that, my life was changed dramatically. So when you think you're all you have, remember, your angel is always watching over you. Mine was. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani, for that very nice spiritual bubble. Before I heard the punchline, I thought it was about being different and about acceptance, but it's much more than that, isn't it? It's about being alone and never being alone. It's sometimes in that difference, we find that there's a lot of loneliness in there too. There was a lot of levels on that bubble. Dare we call it a pipe bubble? You've ever had one of those little pipe bubbles, you know, when you start blowing it out, it's like multiple bubbles and it just kind of like comes down and gushes out more than goes up to heaven. Well, I don't know. Let's drop the metaphor. Let's just say it was a very nice story for today. And I've got a story for you too. I want to tell you about what happened over the weekend. You know, we in America, we celebrated Independence Day and there was so many just like the bubbles, many levels to this Independence Day celebration. There was fireworks and people get excited because they could take a long weekend. It happened that 4th of July was on Saturday. So the government gives you the Friday off and you've got like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You could sneak away and maybe come in late Sunday night, early Monday morning. Some people even get to stretch it out to a 4-day weekend. But it is a time for celebration. Certainly here in America, it is a big one. It is the Declaration of Independence, independence of the country, and a beginning of, let's say, an experiment that started 230 some years ago and continues, as we see many times in the different dimensions of democracy, and especially American democracy, with the collapse of economies, with the escalation of wars. You have to believe that, yes, it is still in an experimental stage. Be that as it may, still one of the greatest places on earth that allows you to really reach your highest potential, to really do what you need to do as a human being. And just the idea that we have all kinds of freedoms. And sure, you know, with that freedom comes, you know, this is a word that people don't like to talk about, comes responsibility. And that's what I want to share with you today, because last week we talked about independence, but we left it incomplete in the sense that we didn't attach to it responsibility. Now I know, before you start clicking the stop button and you say enough, I don't want to talk about responsibility, just give me the fun and leave me alone. Well, too bad. It doesn't work that way. Actually, the responsibility is what makes the fun fun. You know, by having a responsibility, by being more than you are expecting to be, you really have an opportunity to really push yourself to some new limits. So on the 4th of July, we were invited to a town called Santa Barbara. It's just up the coast from Los Angeles, maybe about 100-mile ride. And you get up there, and it's just one of the most beautiful places that exists on this earth. You know, the central coast of California. Oh, don't get me started about that. You know, sitting in LA, it's hard to talk about that. It's just one of those dreamy places. Anyway, we were in Santa Barbara, the guest of the parish over there in the parish council, and we watched fireworks over there. And Sunday morning, I celebrated the Divine Liturgy. Now, in that community, the group uses an Episcopal church because, obviously it's a small community and there are no facilities for an Armenian church. And on that morning, there was maybe about 20 people that had come, that included the priest, the choir, as well as the congregation. 20 of us gathered in this rather large church. It's not a cathedral size, but it was a decent sized church. And it was just beautiful. Atmosphere, as well as God's natural church, the beauty of the ocean and the weather, just fantastic, fantastic weekend. So Sunday morning, there was about 20 of us in this little church, and we were praying and we were celebrating the Divine Liturgy. And that's when it occurred to me that, you know, so much of the Armenian experience is really a reflection of these isolated liturgies. where not millions of people, not even thousands, not even hundreds, but a few core group of people who have had faith in their heart have been able to, now this is an important word, have been able to take the church to survival, have allowed the church to survive. And I say that very cautiously because, you know, this is an important concept. A lot of times we're happy with survival and not really thinking about moving forward. That's why we actually came up with this ministry through Apostle, was to take the next step. It's not standing still because, you know, you can get excited about who you are and talk about preservation. That word preservation comes out a lot among especially in institutionalized religion. Let's preserve and maintain the status quo. But really, it is the faithful people that really push it to the next limit, that really say that we're willing to take our feet and put them one in front of the other to move it forward. And I felt that presence there on Sunday, because with 20 people there, we were celebrating something that really shouldn't have existed. When you think about the divine liturgy in the Armenian church, I mean, you got to remember that 90 years ago, it was the plan. It was just a systematic annihilation. It was the plan of the Ottoman Empire, of the Ottoman Turks, to annihilate every single Armenian. And they went right after the Armenian church, finding that that was really a nerve center of the people. So the entire plan was never to have another Armenian on this earth. In fact, one of the leaders of the Turkish government at that time had said, our goal is to have one Armenian left, and that Armenian would be stationed inside of a museum for people to know that at some point some Armenians lived. And so here we are in Santa Barbara. We are removed from the genocide by 90 some years, and a group of people who have a faith in their heart without the hoopla and all the big organs and all the big trumpets and cymbals and everything like that. Just voices, hearts talking and praising, got together and celebrated this liturgy. Now, talk about miracles. You know, this is a miracle in itself, right? I mean, this wasn't supposed to happen. There wasn't supposed to be any Armenians, let alone in a place called Santa Barbara. A group of people get together and they celebrate their ancient faith, bringing that ancientness to today's life. And I say this because, you know, when we talk about freedom, especially on an Independence Day weekend, it's very easy for us to forget that the reason why we have those treasures in our lives, whether it is our faith, whether it is a gorgeous church service, or the simple thing of being able to breathe freely, not being in a prison, to be able to say, my country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. To be able to stand tall and say, I am proud to be an American with Armenian roots, with Italian roots, with Mexican roots, with Spanish roots, with Chinese roots. Coming from India, I am an American of Arab background. To be able to stand up and say that I am part of America is our inalienable right, as the framers of the Constitution through the Declaration of Independence told us. It is our unalienable right. These things are self-evident, they wrote in the Declaration. Self-evident. I don't need somebody to tell me. It is evident that all men are created equal, and that we are endowed by our Creator with the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, these words are not just something that you just throw out and you say, you know, this is the Declaration. They have to mean something. And for them to mean something, it means you need to add on that little catchphrase that I said a few minutes ago. It's called responsibility. And I talk about this because 4th of July is, to me, is much more than a civic holiday. It's easy to say that this is an American holiday, but you know, the goal of all true religion is to make us free. Yes, Real religion, good religion, should not constrain you. In fact, just the opposite, it should set you free. Isn't that what Jesus said? The truth shall set you free. And he says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. Well, what does that mean? As I've told you so many times, just do the math. Substitute who is Jesus, the Logos, the eternal word of the Father, coming from the beginning of time, beginning of creation, coming to us as the word, coming to us as love incarnate. The truth, love, it's all related, right? A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C. Jesus sets us free. Love sets you free. The truth sets you free. And this freedom that we talk about all the time as independent, we are independent, you know, comes with a struggle. And because it comes with a struggle, it's imperative that we realize that there is a responsibility tied to it. Think about the normal process of growing up, of reaching maturity. I mean, we as children, what happens? I mean, we are born completely, totally dependent on our parents. In fact, I don't think that there's another species of animal that is so dependent on the parent. Yes, others are born and they need to be fed by the parent, they need to be taken care of, but within a few weeks they're already trotting around, running around, taking care of themselves. The human being, if you abandon a child at birth, he or she will die. If you abandon a child at age two, he or she will die. They can't defend for themselves. They can't feed themselves, take care of themselves. In other words, hunt and gather for themselves as other animals do. Completely dependent on their parents. We are that human species. We're completely, totally born dependent on other people. Yet, as we grow, what happens? Our parents start weaning us off of that supply cord. They have us take care of ourselves. We start feeding ourselves until we get to the point of probably adolescence when we want to exert our dependence, because we're usually at age 13 and 14. We're so much smarter than our parents. Remember those years? Yes, yes. Mom and dad don't know anything. I'm smarter than them. And of course, what happens as we grow older, our eyes open up and we realize, hey, mom and dad did know something. When do we usually figure that out? Well, when we have dependence of our own. Mom, dad, did you really do that? Did you really put up with so much that I'm putting up with? Yes, the ultimate get back. And then finally, as life goes on, we again become dependent on others as we reach old age. And we need others to survive, whether it is socially or physically. So you see, throughout our lifetime, it is this struggle of dependence and independence. And so when we celebrate the Declaration of Independence or the birth of a country such as America, it should conjure in our minds the bigger concepts of freedom and independence. And what comes with that? Well, there comes responsibility. You know, you are free to do anything in this country, so long as you're willing to pay the consequences. The standard example that is given. You're free to do anything, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't get up in the middle of a theater performance and yell fire and have panic going around. What happened? You'll get arrested. And your defense can't be, well, I'm free to say whatever I want. No, you're not. You can't do that. There is a responsibility that goes with that freedom. Well, I'm free to take drugs. Yeah, you are free to take, to mess up your body any way you want. But what happens is the responsibility kicks in when it starts infringing on the rights of others. So we see that even there are limitations to that freedom. Remember, this struggle is as old as time. The story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What happened? The serpent. You remember that myth? The serpent comes up to Eve and says, eat this. Eat this fruit. You're free to do it. God doesn't want you to become like God. And so already there is this tension. You know, I'm dependent on God. I want to be independent. And the woman then tells the man, let's go ahead and eat this fruit. And so at the end, when God finds out that the man has eaten the fruit, he says, why have you eaten it? And what does the man do? Like many men, turns to the woman, says, she made me do it. It's not my fault. I don't want the responsibility. I put it on somebody else. And what does the woman do? I don't want the responsibility. The serpent made me do it. Well, this story, this myth that comes to us, the Genesis myth, should awaken us to the reality of what our life is all about. How we throw on responsibility for our freedoms, for our abuse of freedoms. Do you know that right now, those of you who have been following our In Issues Ministries, every year we have a food drive, we have this famine that we go through, and we collect money for the hungry in the world. Today, as you're listening to this podcast, within a 24-hour period, 29,000 children will die because of hunger and hunger-related diseases. 29,000. You can't even count that much in a day's time. 29,000 children will die. And yet, do you know that here in America, we have the ability to feed the rest of the world? We have in our trash bins more food than is necessary to feed the hungry in the world. And yet, why do we throw it in the trash? Because of profits. And it's arguable. You say, well, I have the freedom to make all the profits that I want. I'm free to become as rich as I can be. Yes, you are. But isn't there a responsibility that goes with it? Isn't there some responsibility tied to that profit making? Same thing is true with our environment, right? People talk about cancer being this awful, dreaded disease. I mean, ask me, I'm a priest. I've been in enough of those deathbed scenes where I've seen what dignity even it takes away from people. Cancer is probably the most horrendous of all diseases. And you say, well, why do these things happen? Why do these things come about? Well, why do we allow it? What? Do we allow it? Yes, we do. Look at what we've done to the environment. Look at how we pollute it. Here in our country and other countries, newly industrialized countries, you go to China, you go to India, you go to some of these countries where they're just now beginning to experiment with that freedom, but unbridled freedom, and you start seeing. You start seeing the pollution. You start seeing the death and the sickness and the disease. And it's only a matter of time before it starts hitting our shores. And certainly it has from our past, what we've put into our environment, the way we have imbued our environment. In other words, that freedom is great, but it needs with it some kind of check and balance system. That's what we talk about when we talk about responsibility. It's not an easy thing to talk about. It's not a pleasant thing to talk about because there's nobody in the world who really wants to deal with it, right? I mean, it's just so much easier to go and have fun, you know? Let's go have some fun and not really think about the consequences. But there are. There are to everything. I'm going to continue in just a minute and wrap it up. Bring this all to a close because, you know, we talk about these concepts and it's not just to let you, I don't want to start talking about concepts and have people all excited and say, oh, what a downer. No, these are meant to get us to start thinking beyond outside of the box, thinking of solutions. As we've said many times on The Next Step, God has given us this beautiful thing, which is called the brain, the wisdom, the courage to be able to put aside our problems, to be able to conquer our problems. And with Jesus, we have the ultimate conquering of even death. Therefore, everything else is conquerable, right? Well, we could do it. You know, Susie's got a little announcement for us today. We're putting it in the middle of our show today. Let's listen up, and I will be back in just a second.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the second year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazkin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazkin.
Well, thank you, Susie. That was a perfect segment. I was wondering why she was telling me that, you know, it's time for commercial at this time. Yes, obviously, we were talking about responsibility. And yes, this ministry happens to be all of our responsibility, right? And this is a way for us to listen, enjoy, learn. And if we are learning, then to give something back. And it is, all I could say is an amen to what Susie said. There are so many things that we want to do, and it is dependent on your prayers and your donations. So please be generous. And thank you, Susie, for that little cutaway. This is a new thing we're trying. We're going to make some commercials with Susie instead of at the beginning of the show, and we'll see how these work. But the message is important, not how we put it in. And certainly she delivers that message. I want to conclude with some ideas about independence. As I said a few minutes ago, you know, this is not to scare anybody. It's about us really believing, understanding. When we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, religion, true religion, good religion, it should challenge us to really get our minds going, get our brains going of how I can be instrumental in bringing about God's peace, how I can give my life, sacrifice myself to make love a reality in the lives that I touch, and of course in my community, in the world in which I live. And so we're no longer like the Adam and Eve model. You know, it's his fault. It was she who made me do it. But we start taking responsibility and accountability for our own lives. And can you imagine if the world started doing this? I mean, isn't this what true religion should be doing? Should be teaching us? Not to blame, but to accept and say that, yes, if I cause the problem, therefore I can be part of the solution. That's what it's all about. That's what we preach here at armadoxy.com. Oh, don't get me started on another .com. That was just a joke. No, we are at inhisshoes.org. And that's what we teach. It's about accepting responsibility. And therefore, we really make it an imperative that we walk in the shoes of others so that we understand that responsibility of others is also our responsibility. That we are on this planet together, and our only means of salvation and our only means of hope is not from outside, but from within. From us reaching out with the love that God has given us, with that example of incarnate love that Jesus Christ showed us, and reaching out to one another and sharing and caring for one another. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and all of their concerts with this beautiful song, Find the Cost of Freedom. nice way to end today's podcast for us. As we talked about remembrance, as we talked about independence, and of course, responsibility. A lot to think about, a lot to share with. And we hope you'll share this podcast with your friends. You know, you could just direct people right to the epostle.net website where you could find this podcast as well as every other podcast we've created since the beginning of time. Yes, I'm going back to the Big Bang. I want you to go there too with me. But listen, it's important that you join us at iTunes too. You know why? Because when you download from iTunes, it sets up a little numbering system so that it tells others that this is an important podcast. And you know, we've maintained for the last year a very high spot on Apple's iTunes. We want to continue that. We need you to download from there as well. Just put in our name, Next Step, or even easier, put in Vazken, V-A-Z-K-E-N, my name, because it is unique. It won't get confused with other steps that people might be taking. But, you know, put in V-A-Z-K-E-N, download the Next Step with Father Vazken, and you'll find us there on iTunes.com. And in the meantime, before our next webcast next week, please join us at inhisshoes.org, where you find interesting articles, stories about what we're doing and how we're making responsibility, walking in the shoes of others, really the focus of this ministry. Got a lot happening. We need your prayers. We need your support. And most of all, if you can, pass this along. Get it out to the people, because I really believe that this is something new. This is something that is needed. You know, Armenian Orthodoxy is one of those things that came to us not by chance, I think. I think there's a reason that right now, in this time, in our lifetime, we need to tune in to something that has been around for so many years, that has taught people peace, has taught people love, without weapons, without wars, but a very simple way of surviving and bringing about that peace in your life. So join us when you can. We're at inhisshoes.org. We're, of course, on Twitter and Facebook. We're just all over the place. So for all the wonderful people who make this podcast a reality, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, and for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Vazken inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.